Yeah,
an
well,
Ibisoft.
actually, I just read the other day that we are in a
Don't fucking
remember there
say
was
it.
the reconnaissance,
Oh,
but he called it the dwarfistance.
God damn it. He's been in
I don't
one
know. I don't
thing.
know
He's in
if the
like four
wordplay works.
episodes of True Detective so far. This is premature.
The following is a Mediocre Movie Club production.
Welcome back to the Mediocre Movie Club podcast. I'm John Kissel, and with me tonight is Shane Settner.
Yo.
Sean Riley.
Hello.
Drew Landry.
Yo.
And returning after what I feel like is a pretty long hiatus, not counting the podcast that I just chose not to publish after I lost the work that I had done editing, Phil Crone.
Hey, what podcast did you lose?
It was a What Have You Been Watching, I believe, from October or September or something like that. I didn't save the edit that I had done. I got like an hour in, and then the computer like turned off. So it's gone. Never to be returned to again.
Well, I've been on podcast paternity leave. I get 12 weeks. That's FMLA, Family
yeah,
Medical
I
Leave
think
Act.
That's pretty much
it's
about
not,
what we gave you, more or less. It was a very generous policy on our part, I think. We're not going to go bankrupt because of it. We do have a lot of fathers on the podcast, but I think I skillfully instituted the policy after many of them had their children. So
yeah, I mean,
thanks for nothing, Phil. All
yeah,
that
I mean,
planning.
You waited till I was done and Sean was done, Joe was done. You're like, what are the chances Phil procreates? Zero.
So as our regular listeners know, our own Shane, our dear Shane, has recently had some orthopedic surgery and has been laid up and has taken that time to watch some superhero movies as a good late 30-year-old man in 21st century America should do, you know, get caught up on all the comic book movies.
And if you heard me on last podcast struggling to say a married heterosexual man and fumbling over my own words, it's made me dumber.
So the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies are the ones that Shane specifically caught up on. And these have been a staple of big budget filmmaking for 10 years now. And we're coming up on the 21st movie, Captain Marvel being released in March, and then the whole first generation of these Marvel superheroes will probably, a lot of them will go away forever in April with the next Infinity War, and then they'll go on for another 50, 100 years, if not longer. So we thought we'd spend some time talking about them.
Let's experience it like first time through a child's eyes, right?
Sure, yes, that'll work. That'll all, that sounds fine. So the first question for the group is, are these actually good, like, as movies? Or is this like a whole new criteria of entertainment, like televised movies? Is that where we are now? Because, like, I don't think it's like a happy accident that Infinity War Part 2, or not Infinity War Part 2, Avengers Endgame, whatever, is the 22nd of these movies, which, you know, used to be like a complete season of television in like the 90s. That was a season of ER, 22 episodes. And that's like a fitting comparison, I think. Like these are episodes of a extended TV franchise.
Yeah, since I'm the belle of the ball tonight,
sure,
I'm going to go ahead and go first. I think these are mostly pretty good. Mostly good. I mean, there's some really, really shitty parts to almost every single one of these movies, but they're mostly enjoyable. Again, I was on narcotics, and I was in my bed doing nothing, so that pretty much anything would have been better than what I was doing. But I surprisingly enjoyed these. I didn't watch them originally because I don't like Robert Downey Jr., or I didn't, but I'm in now.
Another big narcotic fan.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr.
Allegedly.
Yeah, he's cleaned himself up. Good for him. We commend his progress. Phil, what do you think? Are these good compared to like big budget filmmaking from like the 80s, which I would say was like the heyday of like big budget filmmaking with your Indiana Jones and those kind of movies? Like, are these in 30 years, are these going to hold up? What do you think?
I mean, it depends on how much special effects really move along, because a lot of these movies do have some serious dependence on special effects, especially some of the later ones, like Doctor Strange, for instance. That movie is bolstered more so by its special effects than anything else. But besides that, I think you know, it's such a trend starter, if you will, with all the cinematic universe stuff. No one was even thinking that that was a thing you could possibly do until these movies existed. It's really hard to, I think, keep up a decent level of quality across God knows how many directors and actors and everything else over, I think, you know, the first one, Iron Man, came out 10 years ago now. And if you watch Iron Man now, it's totally aged well. It's still a really good movie. I think these are fantastic movies. And it's really cool in the later ones, in my opinion, how they're starting to even play with the genre. You've got, you know, probably the most obvious one is Spider-Man Homecoming. That's basically a John Hughes comedy. Winter Soldier is basically a spy thriller. It's really even redefining the genre of superhero itself. It just happens to include superheroes in these movies. Overall, fantastic. Avengers should have never worked. And I'm sure we'll talk more about the original Avengers later, but the fact that they pulled that movie off and pulled it off so well is a testament to how impressive it is. And I think that's the word that I keep coming back to, is impressive that they even just managed to pull this off and turn a franchise that was basically dead 12 years ago into being the most valuable property for the most valuable movie studio in the world.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible. I never thought Marvel was going to be able to surpass Fantastic Four.
I feel like Elektra was around that time period too.
Daredevil.
Sure. Silver Surfer. Ugh.
Yeah, but I mean, the crazy thing to think about is if today Disney was told they had to sell either Marvel or Star Wars,
they would get, and they get Star Wars. Out Star Wars.
They're selling Star Wars in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, you could even have to go to Marvel, MCU. If you made Disney choose between selling Black Panther or Star Wars right now, I think they may sell Star Wars.
They just built a Star Wars world down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit of investment there. Star Wars still crushes in merchandising. You know, MCU is doing fine in merchandising too. I think Star Wars still has the leg up in merchandising though. So I think that might be the kicker in to save them for if you're just betting on movies going forward. Oh yeah, absolutely, MCU. But if
sure, you know, the fact that it's a conversation,
there's a lot. They're still selling T-shirts and lunchboxes left and right. I mean, there's a girl in my work that has a different Star Wars shirt on every day of the week.
That girl's a nerd.
Yeah. I take my lunch to work in a General Holdo lunchbox.
Why can't we get students cool to UE shit? If everyone's wearing cool shit like Star Wars stuff to work? I don't get it.
And I said, welcome to the nerd side. I was mistaken. It's welcome to the dork side.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. God.
Real quick, Drew, quick thoughts about, like, are these movies actually any good? I think everybody is more or less on the same page as of yes.
Yeah, I have to join in that. I mean, there's the ones that we're dealing with currently are way better than, you know, the three Hulk films and Elektra and Daredevil and all those bad ones that we don't really talk about all that much anymore, which is for good reason. But yeah, they have, you know, the way that they pulled it all off, you know, with Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and all of those films, the way that they pulled it together, pretty interesting, pretty good. I was really impressed by that. So all in all, yeah, these are good movies individually. And I actually thought that, I think it was the second Avengers film, it ended too hokey for me. But other than that, I mean, that's really, you know, the only complaint. And I don't really have much of a bad feeling about them.
Before we go on too much in this, the whole character of Daredevil was once ruined for me by listening to some nerds talk about, since Daredevil's blind, can he wipe his own butt and know it's clean? And one guy explained that he can just swoosh his hand across and he could hear the poop particles on his butt still. So that's how I know. So I could never take that character seriously. We probably just lost all of our blind fans, and I'm so sorry. Seeing impaired fans. Sorry.
Sean, same question.
Well, how can I follow the...
if you could frame it in the form of a digression about poop particles, I'd appreciate it.
Well, yes, obviously these are good movies. You asked us, you know, how do they compare to your 80s blockbusters, and you mentioned Indiana Jones. why don't we just compare them to their fellow blockbusters of today? I mean, Skyscraper,
fair.
The DC Universe movies, you know, Phil mentioned that, you know, creating a whole MCU, creating the universe was not something thought possible. And yes, it's, they're attempting to copy it. So between the DC Universe and then the Dark Universe, with the Mummy franchise that killed that whole Dark Universe idea. So there's MCU and there's Harry Potter.
Yeah, I feel like it's gone from stuff like Independence Day, and that's more where DC is kind of
like Michael Bay type stuff.
Michael Bay type
stuff. Badass action, big biceps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, there's the Bad Boys 3 coming out.
Hell yeah.
That's true.
Will there be a Cutthroat 2 to come out? Cutthroat Island 2.
We can only hope.
To be fair, Riley, you mentioned two franchise, the only two really that exist being MCU and Harry Potter for quality. I do want to throw in Fast and Furious because Hobbs and Shaw looked awesome.
Hey, but you know what? Vin Diesel and, you know, The Rock, they're beefing over that. So,
well, they got rid of Vin Diesel.
Guys, this is the most boring conversation I've ever heard.
What about Blade?
Yeah, let's talk about Blade. No,
and Shane's back in.
I'm back in.
Shane's back
so...
in.
Is it, Blade's technically part of the MCU, isn't he?
Yeah, so he is an MCU character.
But I mean, like, so is Wolverine.
Yeah, I don't think they include him in MCU, which is a mistake. Or actually, it probably makes sense because they're like, well, this, then we would have peaked already. So let's separate this.
He's going to be in the next phase after, you know, all the actors move on.
Right.
It's like, Scott. Well, we could assign a new Iron Man, or we could bring in Blade.
Wesley Snipes needs the money.
He does.
Is he still in jail?
It has to be Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
It's written into the Blade intellectual property contract. Wesley Snipes or no one.
So, well, I think Wesley Snipes wrote that in someone's blood. So,
Stephen Dorff's.
Yes, in Stephen Dorff's blood.
That was like our global talk, and we're going to get a little more granular. We're just going to go through several potential categories of stuff to talk about. We're not going to like get everybody's opinion on everything because that would take forever. But series highlights, I'm going to go first on this one. And just to go back real quick to quality, like I'm down on these movies in their most recent iterations. Like I Ant-Man and the Wasp, I thought was silly and useless, and I really am coming far, far down on Infinity War the more I think about it. We'll see how it all wraps up. And then with Captain Marvel, like from the directors of Half Nelson and Mississippi Grind comes this space action blockbuster. I'm reserving judgment. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, have
that.
You seen the website for it?
Yeah, great. 90s, awesome. 90s GeoCities stuff.
Great marketing.
Yeah, solid.
Samuel L. Jackson has hair.
That is true, yes. But like a whole movie of him like CGI de-aged, I don't know.
I got motherfucking hair. Wait, you like...
Hey, I can think of two Sam Jackson movies with hair. Pulp Fiction and Black Snake Moan, and I believe you have A's on both of them.
Yeah, I probably do.
Coming to America. He should have hair in that one. But he's wearing a hat, I believe, when he's robbing the McDowells.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The sequel also was just announced for that movie.
Ooh.
Why?
Because we can't have nice things. So, we don't deserve them in this country.
Series highlights for me. And again, I'm referring to this franchise as a series because I increasingly view it as a TV show. I really enjoy Captain America Civil War. We're going to talk about Captain America again later. And like the emotional crescendo of that movie with Captain America and Iron Man and the Winter Soldier, Cap and the Winter Soldier teaming up against Iron Man. I think that's just like that's the best representation of what this franchise can do. It's movies worth of character development combining into well choreographed action that means something, that isn't just a lot of bleeps and bloops and ones and zeros. Every punch carries like some emotional weight behind it. It's grounded in character, it's grounded in history. I don't read comic books, but that very much has the feel of something that has like in a comic book, that would be volumes and books and books and books of backstory built up to this big. And that very well might have been what Civil War was about in the comics anyways. It might have built to that point. I don't know. Again, I don't read comics. But I really enjoyed the ending of that movie.
My series highlight is kind of personal. It's probably just being in Atlanta when Black Panther was released and seeing how much the city loved and embraced a character that they could relate to. In a way, I suppose. So, however you want to take it. Don't laugh at me, John.
It took me like 3 tries to get into the theater to see it when it came out.
It was a huge, huge deal. They had Wakanda Day at my kids' daycare.
Mm.
So it was a big deal to have a superhero that just didn't look like me and John hanging out talking about movies.
We're talking we're giving Blade such short shrift in this podcast.
What's the
joke? When is Blade Day?
Yeah, no. I brought it up.
As a sidekick.
Guys, to be fair, no one's mistaking you all for Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're gonna hop through these series highlights. I'm gonna try and spread the wealth around a little bit. But favorite character, Phil, why don't you throw in here?
In terms of favorite character, this is kind of tough because it's kind of odd because you have so many different directors that characters can be a little different depending on who's directing them. Like Captain America in his own movies is not the same as the Avengers movie because Joss Whedon directs it a different way. So I'm just gonna say Thor from Thor Ragnarok, specifically that Thor, and also that Hulk. So those are like my 2 favorite characters, and because that is, you know, that's one of those movies that's really about it lives and dies with how those two interact and just the relationships of those two. And I kind of liked what Taika Waititi said about that movie, where he's like, Chris Hemsworth's funny, so let's make Thor funny, you know, really playing to Hemsworth's strengths for the movie. And if I'm going to pick a side character, I'm going to stick with Thor Ragnarok and say Korg, because Korg is the best.
Thor right now is pretty great. This fits very nicely in my "this is a TV show" recurring theme of that's very much a thing that happens in TV shows as well. You spend enough time with an actor and you figure out what they're good at, and then all of a sudden the path that you had them on originally, you know, in Thor's case, like a snooty alpha dog who is the prince of the Norwegians, turn him into a good old clumsy boy on a road trip. Like you said, yeah, he's funny. That works better, so let's go that way instead.
And then he completely decides to stop being funny for Infinity War.
Right, and that's kind of the problem with these movies having so many different directors. And again, you just and like the biggest change is like with Captain America, especially because he's completely different in the 2 Joss Whedon movies versus the 3 Russo brothers movies. He's just not the same character. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but if there is one big weakness of these movies, it's probably the inconsistency of the characters from movie to movie.
I mean, except when it works really well, like in the example that you gave. That kind of freedom is valuable.
Sure, but the problem there is that means we also had at least 2 bad versions of Thor in his first movie.
Oh, many bad versions of Thor.
Yeah. I didn't even mind the first one. That second one was...
Riley, you got a favorite character that you want to praise for the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite character. I think I like all of these movies more than I love any of them. So... picking just a favorite character is not super easy. I'll go off I guess I can go off the board and say that I liked Vision and Scarlet Witch's relationship.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was more authentic than most of the side stuff that they've been doing.
Mm.
If you're going to go in non-action storyline, they're more authentic than the rest of the world.
I was on mute. I was on mute when he said that, so my audible just laughter.
Yeah, that is it. It was a shocking response, Phil. You're not wrong to say that.
When you yeah. see that relationship, it actually makes you a little uncomfortable because she's like a teenager, but then you realize he's 3.
And a robot.
He's the one.
Also a robot. He's a vibrator.
A robot. I mean, hey.
Still a more authentic relationship between two people than any. Pairing that they put on the screen.
It by far trumps the Pepper Potts relationship.
This is a sexless universe where romance is not a thing.
Natalie Portman combo.
Yeah, they just, she's a, she, we put her in a secret location. shut up about it.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be in any more of these movies, okay?
Great. All right. Yeah, that was surprising. I like it. Shane, you're the freshest. Who's popped the most for you?
I would say the cities that they fight in really have been great characters. You know, it's kidding just because that's a cliche. Iron Man, surprisingly, is my favorite character. It's the most fleshed out character. He really authentically, kind of organically drives every plot for good or for bad. I mean, Star-Lord, I guess, kind of does the same and really has a pretty big, profound effect on Infinity War. So, I mean, either one of those two, really. But I think it's probably Iron Man. I just like that he's a good guy, but he's also kind of a piece of shit and fucks things up. I mean, he's nailed the character. So like it's probably one of the best superhero characters of all time. Just an Iron Man would have been my B team of superhero characters, right?
Yeah,
that's why they basically got the franchise for pennies.
I remember when I was working in a call center at Sallie Mae prior to the original Iron Man coming out. I was sitting in a cubicle next to a huge dork who was super into this stuff, and when Robert Downey Jr. was announced as Iron Man, I didn't know much about Iron Man. I thought it was kind of weird because I remembered Robert Downey as the bully sidekick from Weird Science. Mm-hmm. But he said, oh, he's perfect. He was so excited. I'd never seen a dork more excited about a casting of a character in a movie that I was not expecting to be worth a shit.
And then he got turned down for a loan.
He was right. I was wrong.
Drew, why don't you tell us about like a plot thread or a character thread that you wish you had seen more of over the course of these 20 movies?
Yeah, I wish they would have done more like in depth over the Black Widow. I think her backstory is interesting and would have been really cool to really dig into. And I don't really think they needed to go into depth with her relationship with Banner, or more than what it needed to be. But, you know, I find her character is intriguing.
There is a Black Widow movie that kind of been getting kicked around.
That
well, good.
Seems
hey,
unlikely
there we go.
To me just because Scarlett Johansson has been doing this for just as long as all the rest of the like primary actors have been doing it, and they all seem to want out.
I imagine it'd be a prequel, though. Right?
Sure.
It doesn't have to be Scarlett Johansson. It doesn't have to be her.
I was going to more so say that, you know, if they want to pay her $50 million to make another movie, she's probably going to say yes, and they can absolutely do it.
I mean, she did make Lucy.
Who cares if she wants out? They can just say, this is going to make $500 million, so we'll give you $50 million. You make Ghost in the Shell, you'll do that.
Of all the actors, you know, involved, has she been the one that's not only is she in every one of these damn movies, but has she been working the most on the side too with, you know, Ghost in the Shell, Lucy, Under the Skin, and
her? Yeah, probably.
Chris Evans has been in a couple things, but nothing major. I mean, Gifted was probably his biggest movie outside of these.
Chris Hemsworth does his little comedy roles. He's got a giant dick in a Vacation movie.
Oh.
I don't know. I just saw the trailer.
He did the Afghanistan horse movie.
Afghanistan mm-hmm. horse movie. Are we talking about big dicks again?
Yeah, it's a big dick movie.
Yes, that was the name of it. No, 12 Strong, I believe, is what it was called. Came out last year.
That's Phil, stay on. Phil, commit to the bit or don't. Okay.
I just like that. Like Phil's like so into horses. He's
no,
like, this
no,
is not gonna.
No, this next movie is not about dicks at all. It's called Help 12 Strong.
I don't get the joke, guys.
Movies made in this time frame in the heart of the deep.
Chris Hemsworth is playing an elaborate prank on all of us, it seems.
Yeah.
Okay, Shane, plot a character thread that has been overlooked.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff to choose from, but I just like think off the top of my head, I want to hang out with the Captain America dudes more. I mean, that first movie sucks so bad.
Yeah, well.
And they're like the coolest part of it, and we got to hang out with them for like a montage. I mean, I still don't understand why they became
drinking buddies.
Yeah, like drinking buddies. Yeah, who eventually become badass commandos simply because they're all caught by Hydra. Which actually, I don't really care for the whole Hydra thing. I think it's all absurd, so overly absurd. But
sure, yeah.
I would have loved to. We didn't have to, like, for that movie, we didn't have to go into all the spaceship flying and shit. I would have hung out with those guys to the end of that movie. It would have been totally cool. I've been totally fine with that. We didn't need to be fucking flying spaceships.
Yeah, you may need to remind me, were there any, like, because one of the things that always bums me out a little bit about the MCU is because of all the continuity, those actors just get burned in really stupid roles, and then you can't use them again. Like, we can't use Mahershala Ali again, because he was in 6 episodes of Luke Cage, and he's gone. And I'm trying to remember if there were any good actors in the original Captain America.
There were a lot of that guy character actors, I think. Yeah. There was nobody huge.
The only guy I can think of, and his first name is Neil, and he was in Justified. Yes. And that's all I got. I don't have anything else for him. But the rest of them, yes, were pretty nondescript.
Yeah, we could have just had just a little more with them. That would have made that movie actually interesting, because Captain America is by default not a very interesting character.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we've already. All right. I'm going to break my own rules and jump back to the favorite character part, because Captain America is my favorite character.
I don't get it.
There is like the albatross around an upright character's neck, like your Superman types, who, yes, wholly agree, is boring as shit. And when like Zack Snyder gets a hold of him and tries to make him broody, like it just makes him deeply unpleasant to be around, as opposed to like a person who inspires. And there's just not really any good way to make him compelling on screen. Captain America and Steve Rogers, like, he knows what it's like to be useless and to be weak and to be beaten up on, and he channels that into his like beefed up character of, I don't want other people to feel that way. I strongly dislike bullies. I know what it's like to be bullied. And so much of his character is tied up in his best friend, Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier. And I like, those movies do a great job of demonstrating how Captain America is who he is because of his best friend. And without him, he would have just been totally alone to stomach all this punishment, and it cements their bond. And like, Riley's super into the Scarlet Witch and Vision knocking boots, but like Bucky Barnes and Steve Rogers, like that's like the crux relationship of the entire franchise for me.
I will give credit to what they did with Captain America and the second and third Captain America. There are three, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I get it. All the Avengers rolls into it.
Sure.
But they figured out how to play them off of people, I think. But the first one, it was just not enjoyable. And I say this, my favorite Ninja Turtle is Leonardo, so that by default makes me boring. So the fact that I find Captain America inherently boring is bad.
Well, I have the problem. First, I want to defend myself in that, yeah, I was not all about Vision and Scarlet Witch knocking boots. I was choosing to go off the board on the underdog.
Well, you say that, but we saw your fan art you posted before we got on here.
You do a really nice anime Scarlet Witch, Riley. It's super impressive. Yeah.
And very subtle, like, on the Vision penis underneath the spandex.
Well, that soul stone can do some things. But I think we found the real disconnect between Shane and John's Captain America. Shane is firmly pro-bully, and John is firmly in favor of Captain America's anti-bully stance. So there you go.
That might be it. That might be it. I am pro-bully. Captain America is very hokily against bullies.
This is all true and accurate.
Problematic.
And so, biggest misstep is our next category. I'm going to throw to Shane on this one, just because I don't fully understand what he wrote in the agenda, and I'd like him to explain himself.
The agenda says zoom zoom rockets are easy to fly. I think they depend too much on CGI in these. Like they're flying rockets or flying spaceships. Everyone knows how to fly alien spaceships some fucking way. It's some fucking how. And every alien spaceship is flown the same way as we would fly as humans. None of that makes any sense. Fine, we could wave that away. But then you get to Infinity War, and you just have chunks of that movie are just CGI characters talking to CGI characters. It just takes you out of it.
The level of proper nouns and made up words in Infinity War is offensive to me. It's so difficult to listen.
Nothing's worse than Tesseract. Talk. And how many times Tesseract was said in that, which is Avengers. We have to get the Tesseract.
At least that's one thing. At least that's one thing. Like, there are so many things. Like, the whole, in Infinity War, the whole thing with Thor having to make a new weapon. That is a dead end. They just wanted to cast Peter Dinklage as a giant and work backwards.
I like that part.
I can't stress that enough how much I hated it.
It is wholly unnecessary. Yeah, I agree.
I think the made-up word peaked with Tesseract saying it 40 times in a movie. Like, that was absurd. But it's a CGI. I just think it's a CGI. It's just too much. It's way too much. Like, when we talk about the best of these Marvel movies, I don't think a single one of us has been like, I really like the explosions and the bang-bangs. Like, we're talking about the relationship.
Well, we did skip for that question. Bang. So.
Yeah. When you're watching Thanos talk to his, four horsemen, generic fill-ins, and it's just CGI talking to CGI for like 5 minutes. It's,
oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, that's like, that's where they over-rely on, which I don't know what the solution is. Because how do you make someone look like Thanos, the character, and make them intimidating?
I think Guardians of the Galaxy kind of solved this problem with a lot of their like tertiary characters. They just painted everybody a different color.
Yeah.
Like, there are gold characters, and there are green characters, and there are blue characters, and that's it. Like, there's also talking raccoons and trees walking around, sure.
Raccoons.
But sure. But a lot of the human characters, I really appreciate that about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like they give a shit, obviously. There's a lot of money on the screen, but at the same time, we're gonna paint this person blue. And shut the fuck up about it. He's not gonna have like CGI tentacles.
And then the best part of Guardians of the Galaxy, which, you know, especially the first one, might be, it's the kickback between the characters. It's not the bang bang zoomy rocket fly.
All right, we brought it all the way back around.
There we go.
Phil, if you're gonna push back on Shane's biggest misstep, do you potentially have one of your own?
Yeah, I think my biggest misstep is really just the entire arc of, I don't know why I'm going back to this, but or to this character, but the entire arc of Thor in general. It seems like even in his own movies, they don't know what to do with him. The only person that really figured out to do with him, like I said, was Taika Waititi of all people, and it just seems like in the second and third Avengers movie, he just goes off on these random quests. They basically cut his Avengers 2 story, so no one knows what the hell he was doing there. And then Avengers 3, like we were talking about, he was building a hammer with Peter Dinklage. It didn't even work, by the way, so, you know, spoilers.
He got a pretty sweet, like, action hero intro out of it.
Mm-hmm. He did. That was great. That was fantastic. But
I think you're right, because I read comics, but I didn't read any of the Avengers, because Thor reminds me a lot of Captain America. It's like, or Superman. Like, he's just super all-powerful, can't be defeated, good guy, like really nothing complex. So he's at his best playing second man, really, to Loki even, right?
Yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, it's just amazing that you pretty much have three central characters through this whole story, and you just cannot figure it out to do with one of the three of them. It's unreal that it took them, what, five movies to figure out what to do with him.
And then they lost the thread promptly.
And they lost the thread, yeah. I mean, yeah, the great thing about Infinity War is in the first 3 minutes, it completely wipes out everything that happened in Ragnarok.
Well, Phil, you're a video game guy, right?
I am a video game guy.
Okay, well, Captain America is the guy who plays the main quest straight through. Thor's a side quester. He's going to go do his own thing and then come back when he needs to.
I do like his bunny jokes about Rocket.
When he seemed like he was tripping balls the whole time. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Everything with Thor and the Guardians is great. That was a good pairing. That was a good pairing for sure.
Speaking of good pairings, so why don't we talk about comedic highlights yet? Because like the general tone, especially in comparison to the DC Zack Snyder movies, the general tone of these movies is extremely light, despite the fact that half of life in the universe just got blinked out of existence in the most recent big Avengers team-up movie. It'll be interesting to see how they grapple with the comedic tone Like, if anybody's ever seen The Leftovers, that's 3% of humans that go away, and everyone wants to kill themselves constantly. So I expect something similar with 50% in the Avengers. Like, this is a sidebar, but if Iron Man or Ant-Man are making quips in Avengers Endgame, these movies are broken because half of the world is dead. Everybody's fucking dead. So
I think if you've seen the trailers for Endgame, you don't have to worry about that. They're setting a pretty obvious tone that this is not going to be the hunky-dory romp that you've seen in some of these other movies.
Iron Man just sits in a bath all sad.
Oh my God, I would love a tasteful a tasteful shower shot of, say, Mark Ruffalo, just like from the side. You can't, like, his balls aren't visible.
What?
Like, sagging between his
almost,
legs.
Yeah.
He's like
almost
sitting. Bald. Yeah. He's sitting at an angle. He's got his legs up. He's all hunched up. Showers on.
Yeah, he's getting excited over there, John.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that too.
I'm painting
what
a picture.
What if his balls were
picture.
Still Hulk balls?
Yeah. That's the only thing that didn't.
And that's why he's really sad. He doesn't really miss half humanity because he can't interact with him because humanity makes him angry.
Yeah, there was actually,
but he's just like, fuck, I got these Hulk balls.
There was no real reason for him to be in the Hulkbuster.
Do you brag about
costume.
The Hulk balls, or are you like, look at my size of my balls, or are you like, oh, this is too much?
He seems like a pretty reticent guy, Bruce Banner. I don't think he would walk around showing people his giant testicles, his giant green testicles.
There used to be a guy on Ponce and Briarcliff. This is before you moved here into Atlanta.
If this was a little 5-point story, you're going to talk about
So, but this guy used to wear these compression shorts all the time. But the story is he had some sort of like inflammatory issue, and you could just see like his balls and his dick, and they were giant underneath there.
He
had a medical problem, but he chose not to wear anything but compression shorts and nothing over them.
And maybe that was the diagnosis.
And a cane. And he just sat there and would just yell, yell into the sky. I guess if he didn't stop yelling, maybe it would have inflated more. I don't understand the physics of it, but it was a thing until the guy's dead now, of course. But it's a thing. I just saw it the other day.
So giant balls didn't save him.
And now they will the Hulk balls. So
so Mark Ruffalo is definitely going to die in the next Avengers Endgame movie, it sounds like.
We're just going to hang out in
place
Atlanta.
Your prop bets.
Ooh, I mean, I guess they are here filming, so.
Yeah, that's probably. Oh, no, they're surely done by now, I would imagine. In the future, whatever happens next, who knows. So comedic highlights was where I was going with this. Riley, best pairings, who's got the best jokes, who's got the best gags?
Well, the best pair is obviously the Hulk balls. I mean,
all right, fair enough.
It's maybe not the best. Sometimes they're funny, but it's the best kind of back and forth interaction, I think, is Banner and Stark. You know, just having someone of intellectual equal for Tony Stark to actually respect what they're talking about while at the same time shitting on every one of their points, that works every time.
Yeah, at the end of Iron Man 3, that's like a shitty device otherwise. Like because he's recounting all the events of Iron Man 3, if I remember right, to someone at the start of the movie, and then you figure out that it's Bruce Banner at the end. A solid joke that like flips a shitty device.
Yeah, that's
that
I generally
don't like.
That was great. Yeah, I think there's so many, so many with Tony Stark is great. Like Spider-Man with Tony Stark is great. That the kid in Iron Man 3, right?
Even I did not like that.
I thought it was fine because he basically made fun of a kid for like half a movie. I think that's right up your alley, Mr. Hates a big kid.
On its surface, that is true.
Didn't you just recently make a child cry and then post about it in Glee on Facebook?
I mean, you were very proud of making
you
this
can
sunglasses
frame that post.
Kid cry.
You can frame that post as I was happy my team won, and this was just a side effect.
I would not frame that post in that way at all.
Well, neither would I, but no one's ever going to see it. So,
for someone who hates bullies, John, this is uncharacteristic of you.
Well, no, I was going to say I was the subject of this bullying by this kid, but that can't be true. My sensibilities about basketball were bullied by this kid, as far as what can and cannot be worn on the court, namely sunglasses. It's not allowed. You can't do that.
Sorry, the kid. It's good, man. He's bullying a kid. That's good. Nothing bad about adults bullying kids in the story.
Maybe that kid like didn't give enough back. Maybe, I don't know.
I thought he did a little bit.
That didn't really work for him.
There's some Mighty Ducks dynamic in there.
Drew, what do you got for what do you think about the funniest this franchise has been?
You guys mentioned a very good point when you said Rocket and Thor. I laugh every single time when I think of, you know, the first time Thor came to Earth and he was having a terrible time understanding all the societal norms, and he runs into the pet store and says, "I need a horse." And then he gets the coffee, and they're in the cafe and with Natalie Portman and Dennings and the others. And he goes, "This is great. I love this." And he throws it down and says, "Another."
Solid fish out of water gags from Thor.
I mean, that's exactly
maybe
what
the best part of that
what
movie.
These are.
So action highlights, because these are action movies first and foremost. I'm gonna go with the airport brawl in Civil War, which is high on my list as far as quality of all these movies. And like the stakes are low. They're low until they're not low at the very end. But you can tell like they're all kind of pulling their punches a little bit, but. It is, again, like pure comic book type of stuff. What would this who would win in a fight between these two characters? And they all have, like I said earlier, they all have so much history together, and to see them all going up against each other and their powers in relief to each other, it's just a lot of fun.
It's a great scene. That's as good as an action scene can be with CGI involved.
Less quality of a scene, but super fun. The first Ant-Man, the Thomas the Tank Engine fight.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
It should be a simple gag, just being super short, and then the airport brawl. He's super tall. It's a pretty good gag, but they really just do a lot with that, with Ant-Man doing that.
That's the greatest asset of those Ant-Man movies, is just finding new
just
ways
to. Red.
Yeah, well. Sure, he doesn't hurt by any means, but just finding new ways to take advantage of shrinky things and so on and so forth. It's pretty novel and interesting. All those actions.
Right. Maybe he could help out with Hulk's balls.
Just like really get in there and squeeze through like a pore or something and shrink them down.
I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's
about. He would like shoot a sensor or whatever.
No, I think he's talking about traveling through his dick hole.
And.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I stopped
draining
thinking.
His balls.
Oh, so it's a fluid issue with the Hulk.
I don't know. Angry fluid, maybe. All right.
Shane, you're on the record, I think, as being very upset that you didn't get to see your knee fluid.
I was. And I talked to someone recently who did see their knee fluid, and they're like,
lucky sons of bitches.
And they said it was very underwhelming. It just looked kind of like this like clear liquid with a little pink in it.
All right. The more you know.
Yeah.
So, getting close to the end here. Emotional highlights? Like, I guess the first question to ask before we start talking about this is, like, do these movies work on an emotional level for you guys? Or is it all just spectacle and CGI and some laughs here and there and distraction and so on and so forth?
What was helpful on an emotional level is when they started recognizing that they're murdering hundreds of thousands of people in these fights.
They don't have as much collateral damage, I think.
But they actually make a conscious effort to avoid it, unlike, you know, the Harry Potter movie we talked about recently.
Fantastic Beasts.
Phoenix tears, yeah. Therefore no one's going to remember everyone who just died in this fight. Like, they actually were like, this kind of sucks. People are dying. That's not good.
Yes. At one point, Iron Man buys a building before he destroys it.
Yeah.
It's nice that they think about that kind of stuff.
That's fuck me money right there.
Yeah, it is fuck me money.
There's an easy answer for, best emotional scene.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
It's Spider-Man dying in Iron Man's arms.
I strongly disagree.
That worked on me.
You're wrong.
I think that is far behind anything Pepper Potts is in, but that's me.
Fuck Pepper Potts.
Did Gwyneth Paltrow walk into your house and start making fun of your heirlooms or something? My God.
I think he lost a lot of money in Goop.
Is it even possible to separate a character she plays on screen from her real life persona?
No.
I don't think it is.
All I can think of the entire time she's on the screen, she has a jade egg up her vagina while she's filming this scene. That's it.
It's working out those toxins, though.
Ugh. It's not a good character. Who thought that was a fine idea past the first movie?
Of all of the human romantic interests to keep around to.
It's so boring. That's why the Iron Man 2 fucking sucks so bad. They should just Natalie Portman her.
Do they take away her superpowers after Iron Man 3? I don't remember. Because she has superpowers for a brief period of time.
Oh,
I feel like she saves
right.
the day in Iron Man 3.
Was that 3 or 2?
It's 3.
That's 3.
God, that makes me angry. Why do they like Iron Man 3?
Again, of all...
Yeah. The little kid in Iron Man 3, I didn't remember him since you're talking about it again. He's in the new Avengers.
Ooh, I'm down with that, but so is probably Pepper Potts. Ooh, maybe she disappeared. That'd be nice. I wish I'd seen that.
I wonder if that little kid's playing basketball and is wearing sunglasses.
I hope not.
Yeah, then I'm out.
No one
I'm
should.
Out.
No one should.
Only the sun. Good news, only the sunglasses disappeared.
Wait, I want you to know about that kid that Kissel hates so bad.
Yes.
I teed him up this year. That's the first time I've ever teed up a fifth grader.
It was
warranted.
If he wears sunglasses on the court, I can't say I'm shocked.
I'll be earnest with this question.
I was fucking earnest with that answer. I had an emotional reaction when I heard she was out. I'm like, yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy shockingly works on an emotional level, and I do kind of wonder. Both of them do. I think when like Groot sacrifices himself at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, that works really well. And I think at the very end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with Yondu also sacrificing himself. And I think a lot of this is the soundtrack with like dad rock playing. It's like sad dad rock playing in the background while Sylvester Stallone angles for his own entry into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about the Guardians movie, how well they did all of that. Groot going down that first movie was brutal. And you forget about it now because we have a derivative of Groot, but is it the same Groot?
I think they've said on the record
it's
a wholly new entity.
Yeah, it's an offspring. Yeah, his offspring.
Oh, it's kind of like, was it Lunchbox or whatever his name is in second Broken Lizards movie?
Luckily, Big Groot told Baby Groot everything about all you guys. So we don't need to rehash any of this.
Yes.
I'm Groot.
So, hope for the future. Like, what do you want out of these? Just more of the same. Like every fourth movie is a big team up. Ad infinitum.
I'm fine with that. Like, I would like some more small stakes.
I would like nothing but small stakes from here on out. We recently talked about Logan on the podcast. That should be the ideal.
Give me more of that.
That should be the ideal for superhero movies going forward.
Right, because how are they going to up it from a guy just destroyed 50% of the universe?
Yeah, and they're going to like turn back time and bring characters back to life in this next movie.
Riley,
you're exactly
Riley,
right.
I've got an idea. A guy shows up and he destroys 60%. You got it. thanks for understanding the joke.
That's all I got at this point.
I think a Black Widow, a good Black Widow prequel movie with small stakes would be great. Give me like a spy Black Widow movie.
Yeah, and she doesn't have superpowers. She's just a spy who's really good at flipping stronger adversaries around
with
her legs and throwing them on the ground.
What about a Hawkeye movie where he's just on the PTA?
Because
he has no special powers and is a dumb character.
No.
He would like be
he's
really good
arrow at a bad
pencils
proposal.
Yeah.
Nobody is screaming, Hawkeye, help me, please.
Actually, I do actually think Hawkeye was a good part of. I think it was Avengers movie. The first. Whenever the one we actually already introduced to his family, I feel like they did a good job.
Yeah,
him in that movie.
Yeah, he has a pretty good role in Age of Ultron for sure. Okay, now I'm gonna show off. Read too much about this stuff, but they're not turning him into Ronin for Endgame.
What?
Okay, great. Read about it later.
I heard some words.
It's just gonna be Captain Marvel that saves the day, right? I think Captain Marvel is going to take the place of Adam Warlock and the Infinity Gauntlet.
I don't care to speculate about any of this stuff.
I have the Infinity Gauntlet comic book over here in the other room if you want to see it. So.
I'm not on
the
record saying Captain Marvel is the most powerful character in this universe.
That's why she uses a flip phone.
Ashley Kissel is the most powerful member of this podcast.
Can we all agree that this whole Thanos thing is worth it if it gets rid of and I like Thanos as a character, and I like the ending, but I hate that it's so transparent they're going to do more simply because of marketing. I think it's a marketing problem, not a movie problem.
No, I think it's a choice of like who.
But
go ahead.
Can we all agree it's worth it if it gets rid of Captain America's beard?
Motherfucker. Oh, okay.
Not Captain America. Just his beard. If we get a new actor without that beard, that's all I want.
Yeah. It's important to stress that he's underground now and he's hiding, and hence the beard.
Bill. One thing I've learned is that the only people who actually cannot tell the difference between a person with a beard and a person without a beard are babies. Babies are dumb. And that means this entire world is full of babies if they can't tell that that's freaking Captain America.
Yeah, I would. That sounds fine to me.
Yeah, or the DC universe.
And half of those that's babies,
they came and tell people some of
them. In the DC universe, it's glasses.
Yes. My client showed up with glasses today for a meeting. I'm like, who are you? I thought you were my client. And then she took them off. I was like, oh, hello, Miss Smith.
Okay, excuse me, ma'am. I have a very important meeting.
Yes, yeah. I am a very big attorney with very real clients and stuff.
Very bad.
I am waiting for a woman who looks exactly like you, except she doesn't wear glasses.
Did we leave anything out? I mean, obviously we did. This is like 50 hours of entertainment.
Let's just go to a quick. What just like quick two rounds here. Worst flick, best flick.
Worst.
Let's go.
Worst. Iron Man 2.
Sorry, I was gonna call on names, John. Okay. This is my show today.
Well, I hadn't realized that you had the talking ball now.
Yeah, I do.
You've been throwing it between Atlanta and Kentucky this whole time.
Let's go, Drew. Worst flick.
Captain America. Winter Soldier.
Wrong answer.
Oh my God.
Sean.
Wow.
All over the place.
Hater.
Sean.
I'm shocked at the incorrectness. Iron Man 2. I said it's Iron Man 2. I mean, that's
a correct answer.
It was an easy answer.
Again, Kissel, I'll get to you. All right, Kissel, go.
Thor the Dark One. I'm just kidding. I don't have a problem with that movie. I think it's totally fine. It's Iron Man 2.
Phil.
No, Kissel was correct. It's Thor 2.
See, I think it's Iron Man 2 because there's no excuse for that movie to have been bad. None. They figured out what to do with Iron Man the first one, and they fucking ruined it. Thor 1, fine.
It has some stupid funny scenes. Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue for it. This is like, they are unequivocally the two worst movies in the series.
Yeah.
Although, I don't think anyone has seen Incredible Hulk recently enough to probably actually get
that. That's
as
the one
answer.
Movie I, have not, I actually haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming yet, or the Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk is probably really the correct answer.
Is that the Edward Norton one?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The interesting thing on that is the way that they made it, where like interspersed like comic book panels as transitions in the scenes. It was a choice. I don't know if it was a great one.
It has not aged well. It is very dated.
No,
I don't.
Iron Man 2 is still worse. They made something good, then they made a bad version of it.
I think it's the only one I dislike.
No,
I'm gonna. Like,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Civil War over Bucky is incredibly stupid in the story.
Like
cut Drew off. Can you just,
I strenuously disagree. I think they did their homework there. I think he's totally worth it.
No, he's not. He's awful.
So you don't like the movie because of a choice that the story was not about the quality of the movie.
All right, Drew, let's move to our next quick round here before we get too bogged down in this. Best flick, Drew.
Best flick. here. Man, really tough. Infinity War, Avengers.
Okay. Sean.
I think there are two answers to this. I think if you're asking best movie when, under John's part of the series, when you're talking about it as a group as a whole, I would say the first Avengers. But if you're just going to say best movie by itself, stand alone, then probably the first Guardians.
Okay. All right, Phil.
If they stick the landing, the Infinity War double is the best. They have to stick the landing, though.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
That's exactly. It. That's what I'm saying. Endgame can make Infinity War better or worse.
Let's say they don't stick the landing, and the end of the movie is just Hulk's balls in a shower.
But that is sticking the landing. But anyway. You don't know what I want from this movie. No, the original Avengers.
Okay. John.
I haven't rewatched the original Avengers in 5 years, and that is, I have that as an A on the spreadsheet. I think if I watched it again, there's no way it would retain that ranking, and in that case, it's probably Captain America Civil War.
That's my favorite. Well, that's Civil War is great, but
no.
Yeah. Having recently rewatched all of it, I can tell you were going to be down on Avengers. It was. There's way too much.
It's hard to imagine
silliness going on in that movie. Iron Man or Black Panther. The stakes are a little bit lower on this, and we actually have some characterization. And I'm just going to go Iron Man because I've gone Iron Man all night.
Yeah, totally fair.
It's set the template.
Bastards pick Black Panther.
What's that?
My God. Can't believe none of you racist bastards pick Black Panther.
Hey, two of us at least mentioned it, all right, dickhead?
And I wasn't one of them.
Crazy the guy lives in Kentucky wasn't mentioning it. Phil?
That movie's nominated for Best Picture this year at the Oscars.
It should not win Best Picture. What if that wins Best Picture? What if Black Panther wins Best Picture?
It's not impossible.
What if it wins?
But honestly,
I haven't seen all the movies, but what I've seen so far isn't that's nominated. That's nominated. I've seen two movies that were better that were not nominated. But what's nominated? I don't know. Like Black Panther is just as good as the rest of them, I think. So
that's my favorite of the ones that are nominated. But now, granted, like you said, I haven't seen many.
So, thank you guys for waiting 10 years to talk to me about this.
Yeah, sure.
I was waiting for all this shit to come to Netflix. It never happened. I spent $40 in this shit for the past month. So, running this bullshit. Actually, most of it was pretty good. It was perfect for being in and out of sleep on narcotics, not really thinking. And I was really surprised with how good some of these movies were and how very good some of the performances were and some of the scenes and the interactions were.
I think it's more surprising, not so much that these movies, some of them are good, nay great, but that none of them are really bad. Even Iron Man 2 has its moments.
Oh, respectfully.
I gotta say.
And so is Thor 2. That was almost unwatchable.
I wouldn't give any of these movies anything lower than a C.
Okay, that's fair.
That's fair. That's fair. Totally fair.
So it's just like, I think that the lowest of the low we're talking about with these movies is basically Independence Day level.
Speaking of the lowest of the low,
our
next movie at the Munich Movie at the Munich Movie Club is Danny Boyle's The Beach.
How dare you?
And we'll be discussing that movie plus Solo, a Star Wars Story.
Oh, that's the true low.
And Take Shelter in our next podcast, which you can find at MediaComovie.club. We have years and years and years of episodes there, as well as our latest 10 on iTunes and your other podcatchers. Like us on Facebook at Munich Movie Club. Follow us on Twitter at Mutica Movical. And that'll do us for this episode, I think. Thank you for joining me tonight, everybody.
Thanks, John.
Thanks. Hey, we're only a couple months away from the Return of the Power Rankings.
That's true.
Yes.
Game of Thrones is coming back.
We'll
be back to recording every night or every week, and I'll be back to editing furiously and getting those episodes out as soon as possible. Truly my favorite time of the year.
Yes.
But luckily we'll never have to do it again, probably. So
thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.